Yo, what's good, people? I'm sorry I'm chewing in your ears. I'm trying to eat healthy. I'm trying to get back to my weight from over the summer, which was like 168. I'm at fucking 188 right now. Think about that. From, I think it was the last I weighed, like 170, was I think October. I gained, what, almost 30 fucking pounds, 25 pounds from October to the end of February. And this is all because I quit my job working construction, working 5-6 days a week, 10 hours a day, running up and down the stairs, carrying shit, working out. Like, for 10 hours. I mean, it wasn't, like, bullshit work. My boss was, you know, he worked us. But, you know, now I'm like a fucking fat slob. And I can't do it anymore. And I look back. I still thought I was fat back then because I still had a little gut. But 170, bro? For anybody that knows me, I've never been skinny. I think I was born a fat bastard. Even when I was just out of the womb, you know? And what also happened was, naturally, for some reason, my appetite really got, like, cut in half. And it was that specific summer. Because I worked with him for almost 2 years, right? I started in the beginning of July, the middle of July, working for this guy, 2018, almost 2 years ago. And I really noticed the weight loss around February, March of 2019. Before that, I mean, I probably was losing weight, but it was probably so small and slightly. But I think right before I started, I was well over 200 pounds. You know? I wasn't obese, but I was fucking overweight. I was fat. So, started working more with him. It was a hot summer. Sweating every day. The jobs that we had, by the way, were like crazy. We worked on Pete Davidson's house. Everybody knows Pete Davidson, the kid on Saturday Night Live. He's from Staten Island, and I worked on Staten Island mainly. You know, my boss was from Tottenville. He always got good jobs. You know, because he ran a pretty good business. You know, it was small, but he did pretty well. You know, most of the time it was me and him, and he got this job redoing Pete Davidson's basement to make into his apartment. And his house was huge. I don't remember the square footage, but it was a big fucking basement. I mean, and we had to renovate it. So it was already done, but it was made like, I don't know, in the 80s. So you still had the wood paneling, that shit, like vinyl tile, like that you would see in schools. I don't know why they would put it in a basement. It looked retarded. But we had to gut everything, knock down all the walls, redo the walls, the beams. The bathroom was put on the other side of the fucking basement. I mean, I wish I had the video right now. I would show you all these pictures. I mean, we did it phenomenal. And that job, I think, was responsible for me losing all the weight, or at least majority of it. Because, I mean, we were working a lot, man. But now I'm not doing any physical labor anymore. And you see how it just gets put on. So now, with a few techniques I'm doing, because yeah, I go to the gym, but I don't go that much. I was never a gym person. Probably why I was so fat. So what I do is, in the morning and the evening, I make my apple cider vinegar drink. I think I mentioned this on another show. They say to put about 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, but I'd put more. I just like 2 shots full, I would say. Two shots of vodka. No, 2 shots, so like, amount of apple cider vinegar in a glass, a decent sized glass. Looks like it fills up almost a quarter of the cup. I have ice cubes in there because everything's better when it's cold. And I put turmeric, which is that powdered stuff. Apparently, it's really, really good for you. So I put a few shakes of that. And I'm excessive, so I put more than what they tell you to do. And then I fill it up with water. Sometimes I put maple syrup. Sometimes I put some honey. And I just drink that throughout the day and throughout the night. And apparently, it really helps you lose weight. And I really want to go back to that weight loss because, here's the thing. Before I lost all that weight, I really thought I was never gonna, I thought it was impossible for me to lose weight. But once I did, now I know that I could get back to that. So I take it more seriously in my head. And I'm hoping that I get down to at least 175. I mean, I'll be happy with that, I guess. I'll really be content with 170. So I'm gonna do whatever I can without going to the gym. I hate going to the gym. I always did. Unless I go with a friend, excuse me. And even that's annoying. I'd rather just play baseball or something every day, keep active. And also because my job at night is driving for like 6, 7 hours, it's very easy just to get lazy and to just stop and eat shit. What I've been doing lately was I bring a bunch of unsalted cashews with me. I just snack on them because they fill you up. And, I got an appetite and a half. This stuff fills me up. And I bring some Frosted Mini Wheats. I don't know if they're really good, but it's fiber. It helps you shit, which I'm all for. So, and that's the end of the show. Only kidding. Ha. So I started recording this at like 3:15. I don't know why I started so off, because I took off yesterday. And I know I didn't tell anybody, not like, I mean, everybody, but I took off yesterday. I was gonna do a show yesterday, but I said, you know what? I think I should just take a break from for a day. I'm starting to think maybe every day is not a good idea. I mean, there's always news. How you doing? Thank you, sir. There's always news. It's not like I'm gonna run out of shit, but sometimes it's better if I. No, I'm looking to structure my episodes better, and I feel like if I do it every day, especially since I record it at night and I'm driving from like 4 or 5 o'clock until 10, I don't got a lot of time to actually structure out my episodes. So I'm thinking if I do, let's say, for argument's sake, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I'll have an extra day free to structure out that video, to lay out my episodes the proper way, especially because it's only me. It's not like I have an engineer. It's not like I have a tech guy to do that for me. It's only me. So I'm debating on doing that. Maybe I'll do. And then the Sunday or the weekend show, I got to figure out. They're definitely going to be like half hour, 20-minute shows. No politics, something that just like a fun knock around show, which I would really like to do all week. I don't want it to be depressing and yelling and screaming and bullshit. I want to make it fun, but I also want to get my point across because I got a lot to say, as usual, as my friends would tell me. I say, Larry, you always got something to say. You always got a problem. They ain't wrong. So, another promise that I'm breaking is that I would get audio clips from the debate. I fucked up. Couldn't figure it out. Had a lot of other shit going on. But I'm going to bring up some factors of what went on. And what I am going to do is maybe by tomorrow or Saturday, I'm going to dedicate a short part or a short video of just the debate. I mean, in the news that we're in right now, in the news cycle and the way the world is now, the debate's already fucking old news. But the thing about the debate is that that specific one was a pretty defining debate. I mean, it just showed the nature of who they are and how shitty they really are and how desperate the Democratic Party is. And also how the real Democrats do not want Bernie Sanders as president. So, I have a theory, and I could be wrong, but it's not a terrible theory. Now, I'm going to expand on this more later on, but, so, I don't know if everybody follows politics like me. I doubt it. I'm obsessed. I have an obsession. But if you haven't noticed, the Democratic Party really does not want Bernie Sanders to become president. They really don't. And I'm starting to hear them, even fucking Juan Williams. Juan Williams on The Five on Fox. I love that show. And I even like Juan. I think he's a moron when it comes to politics and his views. But I have a lot of respect for him for actually going on there. And I think there should be more of that. There should be more of having a liberal on a conservative show and vice versa. They'll never do it, vice versa. But who cares what they don't do? We should concentrate on what the conservative movement does. We're open to other ideas. We listen. We can have an argument, but still be friends at the end of the day. Like, we're humans. It doesn't matter. But Juan Williams, as left, as liberal as he is, he doesn't want Bernie Sanders. He sees the threat of socialism looming. And I'm starting to see that more and more. A lot of Democrats that are coming on Fox or even on ABC or wherever, they're saying, like, you know, we have to make a decision. Do we really want a socialist as president? And I'm starting to see that more and more from Democrats. And here's my theory. Now, brace yourselves. It might be a stretch, but I think that socialism, the threat of socialism coming to America, might be the one thing that unites America. Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives really do not have much common ground in this climate, in this political climate. But the one thing I believe that most Democrats, or a decent amount, a noticeable amount of Democrats, they see the threat of socialism. Or at least they claim to. Let's just assume that they're genuine about that. Let's assume that they genuinely do not want socialism and Marxism and communism to come to America. We got to assume that they're genuine. I have a problem with that. I'm a skeptic. I'm always skeptic. I always think that there's an agenda behind everything, that they're just saying that for votes, blah, blah, blah. But let's just assume they're not. Let's assume that they really do not want socialism to come here. We all know that, I would say, about 99.99999% of Republicans, of conservatives, do not want socialism here. AKA, we do not want Bernie Sanders, because that is what he will bring. I mean, the guy is, he admits to being a socialist. So, I mean, you don't really need much more evidence. But he just, but the thing is, Bernie keeps giving it to us, praising one of Fidel Castro's literacy programs. And he said, what'd he say? Something like, oh, you know, we know he's a bad guy, but you know what? Well, that means that nothing that he did was good. Yeah, because it was an agenda behind everything. Everything was driven on the basis of controlling the people, the means of production, oppressing his people. Why do you think he educated everybody? You think that he really gave a fuck about their education? You really think Fidel Castro said, oh, you know what? We got to make sure that everybody's at least educated, and then we could kill them. No, you stupid bastard. That's not even close to why he did that. It's because he want the stuff that he was educating these people with is the problem. He was educating them with Marxist, communist, socialist propaganda to brainwash. That's why they have these literacy programs, quote unquote. It's not, they're not learning how to write an essay. They're not learning grammar. They're learning how to, they're being indoctrinated under the guise of being educated. And I don't even know if Bernie actually realizes that. I mean, if he doesn't, he's really a moron, because I'm a 25-year-old fuck-up. And I could figure that out. If you guys haven't noticed, I kind of gave up on the F-word limit. I'm still going to live myself, but I need that word to really express myself. And that's why I could never become president. That's the only reason. Not because I have a little bit more than a fucking high school diploma. But I think that could be the one thing that unites America. If we just find that, if Trump could just say, all right, we got our differences. You hate this. We hate this. Okay. But I think we could all agree that socialism has no place in America. Could we at least get on the same page? And I think maybe that'll unite the country. I really believe that could happen. You put everything else aside, because at the end of the day, if socialism comes here, nothing else matters anymore. The country's doomed. It's doomed. It's done. The economy will crash the day that Bernie gets into office, because consumer confidence will plummet. The guy's going to raise taxes, add so many regulations to business, make it harder and harder for them to function and even run their business and pay their workers. Minimum wage will be fucking $50 an hour. America will collapse. The economy will die. So the day that he becomes elected, the market will crash. And I know that the left, they were saying that before Trump got elected, but there are actually, you know, evidence to back up that belief, you know. With Trump, they were just finding anything to say to turn, you know, potential voters off. And by the way, they literally could not have been more wrong. That was one of the worst things, you know, and a lot of them were saying that. And they were dead wrong, which was funny. But with Bernie, not a good idea. So I believe, and I'm hoping that maybe, just maybe, both parties will find common ground in combating and resisting socialism. And if they could do that, I think the country will start healing. Because right now we're so polarized. It's really disgusting. And I'm not blaming that on Trump. I'm not blaming it on him. It's the left that really just, they hate him so much that they turn off all Republicans in general. And it forces them to be like, you know what? No, forget, fuck you. All you do is bash the president and you lie about it. You know, we're going to stick to Trump no matter what now. And the same goes for the liberals. Not liberals, the left. So find the common ground. Both acknowledge that socialism cannot come to America, and you fight together. I mean, we're a country. You're not separate countries. We're all one nation under God. You gotta get together on something and fight Bernie. I mean, come on. You don't want this guy in the office, I'm telling you. Talk to anybody that comes from a socialist country and ask them, why did you leave? And obviously, they'll all tell you the same thing. I like freedom. I don't like being oppressed. Yeah, it's rough. And Bernie's going to lose. If he gets a nomination come election day, Florida's out the window right away because there's the biggest Cuban population in the country. Not to mention all the counties that have high Cuban population. And Florida's a very important state. Once Trump won Florida, the election was in the bag in 16. Almost. It was a big thing. And it was neck and neck. So I'm gonna expand on that more a little later on. Because that idea just dawned on me this morning while I was watching Fox Business shitting my pants about the markets. You know? So one of the if you guys haven't noticed, which I'm sure you have, the stock market right now is, you know, it's suffering a little bit. A lot of it. I mean, today it was down, what, last I checked was 600 points. The lowest was 950. 950 points. That's big. You know? And there was a market correction. It was below. So a correction means it has to be down at least 10%. It went down like 10.2%. Maybe a little more. I'm not sure. That's correction, you know, country. What people got to understand, and which most economists, you know, economists do understand, is that it got to correct itself. I mean, the way the market was going was like, I mean, we hit a record high, like historic, 29,000. What, 10 years ago, 11 years ago was like, what, 16, 17? Come on, that's huge. And if something like now, what's also good about a market like this is that by being down 3,000 points, we're not in a recession, but we got into a recession in 87 when the Dow went down 500 points. And that was bad. You know, but also the recession in 08, the market went down 777%, the Dow Jones. I don't know if it was the Dow or the market in general. But plus, employment was having problems. The housing crisis with the subprime mortgages. There were a lot of factors. Right now, the only thing that's driving this market to do what it's doing is the coronavirus, which is big because it's limiting a lot of imports and exports to China, which is one of our biggest supply chains. And in my opinion, which I've been hearing a lot, is that Bernie Sanders might get the nomination. And that goes back to what I was talking about with the market crashing if Bernie becomes president. There are people are already like shitting their pants. Like, all right, if this, like, you know, the country can't afford this. We're gonna, you're gonna spook us. We're gonna take our money and go. God forbid this guy gets in. I'm gonna lose everything. So that's a real thing. And the fucked up thing is, I'm sure Bernie's proud of that too. Because we don't like free market capitalism. We don't like capitalism. Because he's a socialist, communist. There's never a strong position on him to say, I'm not a communist, never. It's like, oh, I'm a communist, I'm not. You're a communist. If you're a socialist, you're a communist in my eyes. Some people disagree with that, but from what I've learned in my life, from studying, it's all the same shit. Once you take away people's liberty, once you start taking away majority of their money to go to social programs and start, you know, having the government control everything, that's fucking communism. That's not a free market. If it's not a free market, it's fucking communism. Because a free market is freedom. So, yeah. The Dow Jones is down. NASDAQ, S&P 500, they're down. I invested in... what was the name of it? In a company that makes the medical masks. And I invested it when it was down this morning, but it was on its way up. Like, it was on its way up, but it was still cheap. like a good time to buy because, you know, I mean, right now, 3M, one of the major companies that makes the mask, they're doing phenomenal in this market right now. And so is, not ADT, I can't remember the name. But I threw a few dollars in there. I bought a few shares and I made myself some money. So that was a good thing for me. Take advantage. It's not going to be catastrophic because at the end of the day, they're going to find a cure. Well, it's going to get under control. You know? So panicking is not smart to do. There's no reason to panic. There's going to be anxiety, like what Barney said on Fox Business. It's anxiety. Seeing those numbers is going to spook people, but it's not catastrophic. And we have a president, thank God, that knows what he's doing when it comes to the market. Keeping the taxes low. I mean, keeping the taxes low. Regulations, keeping them low. Make it easier for people to pay their workers. Make it easier for them to still work and run their business instead of challenging it, making it more challenging for them, which is what a lot of them do. But Trump knows what he's doing when it comes to that. You know, when the market starts suffering a little bit, you got to keep in mind the business owners who drive this country. And if you make it harder for them to pay out their workers and to function, it's going to get worse. Got to keep them happy. Got to make it easy for them. You don't want to discourage the owners. So I have faith in Trump when it comes to that. I mean, I have faith in him with a lot of things. But when it comes to the market, stocks and bonds and shit like that, and the economy, I trust him. And I think a lot of people do. I think liberals, they hate to say it, but I think they trust him too. I really think that they trust him. And they should. I mean, the economy with Trump is unheard of. Even now. What's been going on? Well, see what happens. And we got a nice little show coming up. Talk a little bit about the debate. I want to talk about the Young Turks. You know, that YouTube show with Chunk Yogurt. That piece of shit. I can't stand that bastard. I really can't stand him. But I want to talk about them. I want to bring some light. Not bring some light, but I want to, you know, expose a few things about that company, about that media network, whatever you want to call him. And his nephew, Hassan Piker. Oh. Yeah. So I'm going to take a short break. So I got to run into a few places for work. But we'll be back in a few minutes. All right, let's just get into the bulk of things here, because I got about an hour to finish this episode, because I don't record when I'm home unless I'm at my desk and it's in the morning. I did that a few days ago for about the first half hour of the show, but I don't do it when I get home. Because I like to be, you know, I like to be alone. I know it's probably not the best, you know, mindset for somebody who's creating a, you know, a podcast or a show. But I don't know. I don't like doing it in front of my family. I don't like, maybe my sister, but definitely not my dad. I don't know. They'll fucking laugh at me. Until I start having guests on the show, which I think will be soon. There's a few people that I plan on getting on, a few definites. I'm not going to release any names yet, but, you know, I mean, how how famous could they be to come on this show? I you know, I'm brand new. It's not like I have this huge following, but I'll take what I could get, you know, as long as they align, either align with my views or not. I mean, listen, I welcome people that don't necessarily align my views. You know, that's cool. It's good to have debate. That's the problem with the climate, the political climate now, is nobody wants to have like honest debate. Nobody wants to like listen to different opinions and stuff. I don't think that's cool. That's why, like I've said before, like I like how Juan Williams is on the Five on Fox. I love that. I think that's great. You know, well, I mean, I don't know if, I guess it's genuine, right? I couldn't fake being a liberal. Oh my God, that'd be horrible. I'd be the worst. No. But anyway, yeah, a few people are going to be coming on. Nothing crazy, but some, you know, decent people. And even if it's some friends, I mean, to have other, more dialogue on the show, I'm welcome to that. I need that. I need all the help I can get, you know. I'm brand new. I'm still wet behind the ears. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I just know that I want to talk about my opinions. You know, I want to enlighten whoever I could with information that I have or opinions, open people's minds. I've been wanting to do this for a very long time. But I never had the balls. Never had the balls. Never had the, I guess, the resources or the knowledge, as in like how to actually get it going, you know. But I've been pretty well informed on politics for a long time. I'm 25 years old, and I grew up in a household that politics was a big thing. Even though my dad always said, it fucking sucks. Don't listen to it. It's not good for your head. Just think about happy things. It's all negative. He told me that today. Like, I can't even have a conversation with him about it without him saying, you shouldn't be fucking doing that. You shouldn't be making the podcast. Worry about good things. Fucking put me down. Anyway. Yeah, he told me that today. But meanwhile, my whole life, the only reason why I even got into it was because of him. That's the only reason. Because I grew up listening to him talk about it so passionately, because my father is one of the most passionate men I've ever known in my whole entire life. When he talks from the gut. And, you know, I get that from him. I think not as much as him, but like when he talks, he believes what he says, you know? Sometimes he's a little extreme. But I hate to say it, and I hope he's not listening, but he's right about a lot of shit. You know, some things he's just a little too much. But I grew up listening to him listen to Michael Savage on the radio, who I love. I love him. I love him because he's hated by so many people. Just like Gavin McInnes. In my opinion, in a weird way, Gavin McInnes is the 21st century version of Michael Savage. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. He's been banned from every single thing under the sun, you know. But he's smart and he speaks the truth, you know. The only difference is Gavin McInnes is more of a comedian. But Michael Savage is not. He's a funny guy too. But Gavin is legitimately funny. Like, you know, he's sharp. He's on point. You know, you could fuck with him. And oh, and I got some breaking news on Gavin too. This made me laugh. I just found out about 2-3 hours ago. I'll go on into that in a minute. But to my point, what I realized what attracts me as a conservative, someone who's yearning, someone who's looking for a speaker, a public speaker, you know, that really catches my attention and I believe in, is a guy like Michael Savage, is a guy like Gavin McInnes. Because they are not afraid to say what's on their mind. They go against that narrative of having of being censored. I mean, Gavin McInnes is fucking, his whole entire media company is called censored.tv because, like, he's tired of being censored. He's tired of being banned from places because of what he says. And you know what? It's not like what he says is even that bad. He's not a racist. He's the farthest thing from a racist. He's not a sexist. He says it all the time, how women are unbelievable powers of this world that men really can't compete with when you really think about it. Women could bring life into the world. They could feed babies from their body. They have a power of nursing and nurturing a child into a grown adult. I mean, a child needs their mother. Like, actually, like, physically needs them. A child needs their father in a different type of way. Just as important, but more, not physically, more like mentally and, you know, intellectually. Like, especially with sons. I mean, well, both of them, really. With sons, you need the father to teach you how to be a man. A mom can't teach you how to be a man. This is why there's so many messed up kids in the black community. Because kids, sorry, I was fucking interrupted by my fucking father calling me again. I can't do this on the phone anymore. Jesus Christ. Why do you gotta bother me now? It's like he fucking knows when I'm doing this and he calls. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. You can't. Just leave me the fuck alone. That's all I'm asking you to do for fucking 2 hours. Leave me alone. Why do you gotta call me? Text me. And I'm more pissed off because I lose my train of thought and I had a good fucking thought for once in my head, which is rare. Okay. So I was talking about how important a father is to a son. And what I was saying, I'm trying to remember, I apologize. That's the reason why there's such a problem in the black community with young men. Because, so, these kids grow up without a father in the house or any kind of male figure in the house, you know, because, you know, it's incentivized by the government for the women to have babies out of wedlock and to not have a father in the house, because if they do, then they don't get the welfare money. So it incentivizes these women to have babies out of wedlock and marry the government. So these kids grow up without a dad. Now, when a boy is young, you listen to the mom. But once puberty rolls around, not even 12, 13, 14, even younger with them, they start rebelling against mom because she's a woman. And naturally, a boy is not going to take a woman serious. They're going to say, all right, ma, yeah, sure. I mean, I did the same thing, only my dad was in the house. And she would say, I'm calling your father. And I'd have to beg, and he would come home and, you know, whatever. But, like, there was none of that reinforcement. There was none of, like, I'm going to call your father if you keep doing this. And most of the time, like, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, call him. I don't give a fuck. No, they're going to be like, all right, I'm sorry. You scare the kid, which is, like, you need that. You need to scare him straight. But they didn't have that. So they would rebel against the mom after a while. To, you know, 12, 13 years old rolls around, they go to hang out with their homies on the corner, who are usually older, you know, and getting them involved in bad shit because they don't have a dad to roll up on him on the corner, drag him by his hair, and throw him into the car and throw him a beating and say, you're not fucking hanging out with them again. And if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. You know, I remember my dad, I was, you know, I was in this funk, I guess, when I was, you know, a teenager. And I remember him always telling me this, you know. He said that I would act tough. I don't know why you're acting like you're tough. You're not fucking tough. I'll show you tough. I'll show you a gangster. And I'll take you to the fuck. I'll take you to Harlem. We'll see how fucking tough you are. He would always say that. And he did it once because we were already in the city and there was a problem. And he took me out. He said, how's this look to you? How would you? How would you do? How would you do if I threw you out on the street right now? You'd be good? And he always said that to me. Not always, but if I was, you know, acting up, he would, and that would legitimately shake me up a little bit, you know? But my father's a different type of guy. You know, he's not like one of these average suburban dads, you know, hey, son, how you doing? My father, he comes from the street. He's a Brooklyn guy, so is my mom. She's a Brooklyn girl. So they didn't grow up like average people. You know, they didn't have easy lives. You know, they saw a lot of bad shit. So it was a different approach raising me, kind of raised me in that, I don't know how to explain, more like a tough upbringing in a way. You know, but not in a bad way. I mean, you know, my mother, she was different. She was always soft with me, you know, but my dad, no. And it's not that he really tries to. It's just that's his nature, his personality. He's just he's a tough guy. But he taught me a lot and he raised me to be tough in a way. Not like a tough guy, like just tough, no, you know, hurt your feelings or, you know, coddled when I'm not feeling okay. Toughen up, suck it up, stop being a pussy, and move on. And that's how I grew up, you know? And if I was hanging out with the wrong crew, I mean, he had no problem letting me know, you know? I mean, but I was also not sheltered. I learned a lot of things on my own because, you know, my parents, you know, went through some tough shit, you know, financially with whatever, and I kind of did things on my own from a young age. I did a lot of things on my own, you know. I did a lot of things on my own. I kind of learned for myself, and I realized that's the type of guy I am. I need to learn on my own. I need to fuck up myself. You could tell me something till you're blue in the face, but I feel like it won't click in my head until I do it. I take a beating, and then I'll learn. And it sucks because you take a lot of beatings. It's a long way, you know, but not to say that they were preoccupied, because I never felt like I was neglected by my parents, never once. But I did a lot of things under the radar, you know. They were too busy trying to get things together so they could get back to living normal lives financially. And, you know, it was tough. So I guess I took advantage of that and I just did whatever I did. Not proud of, but I did it, you know, and whatever. But I still had a certain level head because of my dad. You know, and I probably escaped getting killed in a lot of the situations I was in if it wasn't for my dad's voice in the back of my head. Because I've been in those situations before, unfortunately, where bad things could have really happened if my dad didn't instill these certain things in my brain. And unfortunately, I know a lot of people that didn't have that. And you know, didn't go so great for them. So I'm thankful for that, but I'm sorry for rambling, but my point is that's how important a dad is in the life. And the left likes to downplay that, not even downplay it, but they like to completely demonize men as a whole and say that women don't need a man to raise a kid. Kids come out fine when they leave a mom. No, they don't. No, they don't. I mean, it happens. My dad grew up without a father. My dad's dad died when he was a year old. My dad was 13 months old when his dad passed away. But my grandpa was a real man. You see, he wasn't like one of these gang-banging thugs who knock girls up and then just bounce because they're not ready to settle down or they don't know how to take responsibility. He went to Okinawa in World War II at, I think, 17 years old, fought in one of the toughest battles in history, comes back after the war's over, not even a year later, becomes a police officer in New York City, in Brooklyn, and then in the West Village in Manhattan. Gets married to my grandmother, has three boys. A year and a month after my father was born, has a massive heart attack on the job, passes away, dies, just like that. And so that left my grandma alone, raising three boys, each 3 years apart, alone to raise. You know, and my two uncles and my dad, they came out, they ended up great, you know, but it's not to say that they didn't have struggles, they didn't have problems, you know, that probably wouldn't have happened if my grandpa was around, was in their lives, didn't die. They got lucky. And there's plenty of people that have a similar story where they didn't grow up with a dad and they turned out to be great people. But the overwhelming majority, because in this show, we look at facts and patterns. We do not ignore patterns. That's why this is not a politically correct show, because like I've said, political correctness is just ignoring patterns. We don't do that. The pattern is majority of children that grow up without a dad in the home end up dead in jail on drugs. The majority. Not all, the majority. And in black neighborhoods, it's an overwhelming majority. And it's sad. It's a shame. And it shouldn't be like that. The left, the Democrats, incentivized black women to have babies and not have a father figure for them so they can get as much money as possible. And that was their plan from the 60s. I talk about this every fucking episode, and I'm sorry, but it's one of my biggest points. One of the biggest things that I talk about that always stick out in my head on how terrible the Democrats really are from the start. So, you know, I how the hell did I start talking about this? We started talking about Gavin McInnes, weren't we? All right, well, I'll talk about the breaking news with Gavin in a few minutes, but, you know, after watching the debate, I realized that, and I'm sure everybody has realized the same thing, is that they're eating each other up. You know, and not one of them really looked like they could beat Donald Trump. Could you imagine any of them in a debate against Trump? How funny that would be. I mean, I would predict that would be the funniest, most one-sided blowout in the history of any kind of debate. Because we all know Donald Trump. He's, you know, he's right now, you could throw him into a debate with any of them and he has everything ready. For that guy or girl, you know, everything, all the dirt, all the reasons why, you know, America should not elect them, and that's just his nature, which is why I admire him. The guy's ready for anything. But I happen to believe that Bernie's going to get the nomination, unfortunately, because, who else is going to get it? Biden is, he's senile. Klobuchar, I don't know why she's even still there. I don't understand. I would think that Beto would have more votes than her. I don't even know who the fuck she is. I know she was something with Minnesota, you know, which is a mess. Who else? Bloomberg, he's there for the money. He's there because of the money, I should say. Warren, you know how I feel about Warren. All she, I mean, she just, she's just an irritating, annoying human being. Like, she almost reminds me of, like, that really annoying, mean librarian in, like, a school. You know? That, like, is so passionate. She's so passionate when she talks, she starts shaking. We have to do this. And this. And then she gets, like, that really strong, like, the black people. They're so discriminated. And I have to pander to them. And I won't stop shaking and putting my hands up until that's fixed. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut up and go back to the library. You sound like an idiot. You look like an idiot. Just retire already. Pocahontas. Like, how is she not out of the fucking race and not embarrassed after being exposed? After lying. She lied for years about being a fucking Native American. She literally got into, like, schools because of saying that she was a Native. Because, you know, you go to school for free as a Native Indian, Native American. Like, she lied with a motive. She lied so she could get places. And it was an outright lie. 1,024% Native, which everybody is. She's no more, no less American Indian than everybody else in America. You stupid bitch. And she really is a liar. Because that whole story about her getting fired because she was pregnant, that's verifiably a lie. And she keeps talking about it. She keeps referencing it. Like when she was saying it to Doomberg. Like, she's an actual liar. People call Donald Trump a liar, but he's not a liar. He's an exaggerator, you know, which is like what humans do. If we want to get the point across, we're exaggerating. Yeah, there was fucking 2 million people there. Meanwhile, there was 500,000. And the media is so stupid. Trump said there were 2 million, but there were only 500,000. What a liar. No, you stupid fuck. That's human. That's humor. That's like, that's the way people talk. Like, that. This just proves why these leftist progressive journalists are fucking robots. They have no sense of humor. And that's why they want to censor comedy, because they don't get it. They don't get humor because they're afraid to laugh at anything, because they're afraid of offending anybody. So they decide to cancel everybody. I fucking can't stand them. Oh, God. I'm getting really fired up now. I need to laugh. So she lied about getting fired for being pregnant. That was a total 100% lie, verified by the employer, I believe. Still brings it up. And I wish Bloomberg had the balls to say, wait a minute. That story's a lie. That whole entire story's a lie. And that's verified to be a lie. Now, why do you keep bringing it up? But Bloomberg would never say that. And that just shows how he has no backbone, because we all know that Trump would put that, I mean, would put her on blast as soon as they got on stage. What is going on? Now, here's a thought. Here's a thought that would encourage, that would, I think, any Trump voter that might not vote. Just think about this. Let's just say hypothetically that Bernie Sanders, the socialist, gets into office. He gets elected to be president of the United States. You know what he's going to do, right? You know who he's going to put in place, right? The whole squad is going to have some kind of power, big time, in the White House. AOC is going to be something, Secretary of State. Ayanna Pressley, who the fuck knows, foreign affairs, Ilhan Omar, North Tower, God knows what, Rashida Tlaib, that piece of shit, nasty, nasty female. So think about all the people, all the terrible socialist America-hating people, terrorists. Think about who he's going to put in his cabinet. Like, that's the scariest thing to me. Do we really want those disgusting, vile mutants running the country, representing us? I don't. And I really believe that the majority of the country don't either. And I bet that's including a ton of Democrats, regular liberals. So that's one of the many, many reasons to not let Bernie into office. And by the way, if Bernie doesn't get elected, he's probably done. The guy's what, like fucking 200 years old? You think he has another fucking run? Well, then again, the guy should have about 75 years of energy because he literally did nothing for his whole life. Never worked. Lived off the government. He was a mope. He was a mope that was a fucking, you know, a tinfoil hat wearing, you know, socialist. Useless human. But everybody on that stage, they know. Wait a minute. What the hell's going on here? God, this is crazy. I apologize. For some reason, as I was talking, all of a sudden something starts playing and I can't find where it's coming from. So as I'm talking, I start hearing something. I'm like, and I'm looking at my iTunes, nothing's playing. And I'm like, where the fuck is that coming from? And I realize it's coming from Instagram, because not realizing it, but I guess I had a notification from Instagram and I clicked it. It was just like one of those things that pop down on your phone. And I click it, I don't even know why I did. And it automatically started playing Prager University's Instagram story. So I got to cut that out. We got like a half hour left in this show. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. I know what I want to talk about here. Oh, first, so I don't have a lot of information on this yet, but with Gavin McInnes. So I was watching the show yesterday, and he said right after the show he's going to be heading down to CPAC, I think, in Washington. The conservative PAC, whatever you want to call it. And apparently he was going to speak there. I fucking find out today, a few hours ago, that he got kicked out of CPAC and banned. He got banned. And I think it's because he was like... He makes me laugh, man. If you guys don't listen to Gavin, you gotta listen to him. He is... Oh God, I love him. He's just... I feel like he's my spirit animal. Although he's not a fucking animal. He kind of is an animal. But, like, I don't know. Everything he says is like, man, like, that is literally what I've always said, but I don't have a fucking platform to say it. But I don't know why he got banned. I heard that something was going on with some of the liberal journalists there, and I don't even know if they were liberal, but they were going back and forth. And apparently one of them ratted him out, tattletailed on him. Oh, he accused one of them of being a tattletale, and the tattletale goes and tattletales on him. And they kicked him out. So I don't even know if he ended up speaking. I have no idea. I know I watched a 13-minute interview with Owen Schroyer from InfoWars. But I think that was before it happened, because he didn't mention anything about getting kicked out. So I believe that happened before or yesterday. I'm not 100% on that, but I don't even know if Ryan went. Ryan's his tech guy, his engineer, whatever you want to call him. I love him too. They're like a great combo, you know? But hopefully I'll have more information on that tomorrow. it doesn't seem like, I wouldn't think that conservatives kicked him out. Like, but then again, there's a lot of those pussy conservatives out there too that are just as bad as the Democrats. Ratting people out like, oh, he said that. No, shut up. Shut up. Such a little vagina. Like, why is everybody such a little dweeb? Everybody's a little dweeb. You know, like, that Gavin brought up this point. So, like, I think it was like 2 months ago, there was a kid that held up a sign in a college. A lot of people seen it. That, God, I don't remember what it said. It wasn't even anything bad. But in these SJW college students' eyes, that's like saying the N-word to them. Like, and so there was this blue-haired, purple-haired, short, ugly, fat runt screaming about something. And this conservative kid goes up next to her and holds up this little sign saying whatever it said. And she sees it. And she pushes him, grabs it out of his hand, pushes him again, kept putting her hands on him, hitting him a little bit, and crumpling up the paper. And he just stopped. He looked at the camera. He said, call the police. What? And by the way, this is, Gavin McInnes brought this up. This was, you know, one of his talking things. So I'm not stealing from him. I thought the same thing when I first watched that video. And then a few weeks later, I saw him talk about it. But it's exactly what I thought. I just don't want him to break my balls about stealing this shit, because I'm not. Hold on, I gotta pay this toll. Hi. How you doing, all right? I know it's freezing out, right? Can't wait for the summer. Thank you. Stay warm. So I was saying that, like, what do you mean call the police? How about you grab it back out of her hand? I mean, she literally, like, assaulted you, like, 4 or 5 times. And all you can say is call the police? Like, stand your ground. Stop being a little pussy. This is why the left walks all over the right. So stupid. Like, I'm not one to ever advocate for violence. That's, like, stupid to do. I would never do that. But, like, I don't know. If I was that kid and some little twat like that did something like that to me, like, I don't know. I would not be too happy. And I definitely wouldn't say, call the police. No. I'd probably grab it right back out of her hand and say, don't you ever fucking touch me again. This is a public university. I could do whatever the fuck I want. And then you take it from there. I mean, it's a call the police. Like, you're just as bad. You are just as bad as the progressives. I don't respect you if you do that. So I guess Gavin was kind of pointing that out about this guy. He's a little tattletale, little snitch rat. And they kicked him out. This poor guy. I mean, he can't catch a break. I mean, this is what I don't like about what's going on in this country is, you know, there's all these unwritten rules on what to say and what you can't say. Like, what, at this point, and this is how I feel, free speech is very cut and dry. Either you could say anything, or it's not free speech. Who's that one guy that said free speech has consequences? Oh, LeBron James. Out of all people speaking about something intelligent besides dribbling a basketball and putting into a fucking net. And he has shit to say. And there are people that say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's a pretty smart point of yours, LeBron. Like, who? Where, like, you have nothing to say, nothing educated to say. Stick to playing basketball on a wooden floor and shut your mouth. You're not smart. You're not smart. You're not educated. And if it wasn't for you, you know, playing in the NBA, God knows where you'd fucking be. But no, free speech is either there's no limits to speech or it's not free speech at all. Because right now, it's not free speech. at all. It's not. It's not free. I cannot say whatever I want right now. And I'm talking about with the exceptions of, you know, the cliche, don't scream fire in a movie theater. That doesn't, that, or inciting violence. That's not speech. That's inciting violence. That's different. But like, to say what's on your mind, you can't say that. Like, if I'm in New York City, right? And I'm wearing a Trump hat. You know, I could get, like, severely beat up for that. I could also be not allowed in establishments, too. Because I support our president. Think about that. And that's what Gavin is fighting for. And I just see myself aligning with that 1,000%. America is really the only country with absolute free speech, originally absolute free speech. But up until a few years ago, that's been taken away from us. And it's been a slow chip. They've been chipping away at our free speech for a while, but just in typical leftist socialist way, under the radar, doing it very slowly and methodically, because that's what they do. They do things slowly and methodically under the radar so nobody knows that it's happening. Bit by bit, piece by piece. And then before you know it, it's this whole big thing like what's happening now. You see, socialists have no problem taking forever to get somewhere. Look at Bernie Sanders. He's been in what, the Senate for what, over 50 years? Something like that? 40, 50 years at least? And he knew what he was doing from the start. He knew that he wanted to turn America into a socialist country. But he knew that it would take time. And he knew that he would have to slowly and methodically, once again, get it done in order for it to actually happen. And now look where we are. Now, we are literally in the biggest election of America's lifetime, where we could either re-elect the president that has helped every single person in this country, that economically made us strong again, you know, safe again, steering us in the right direction, a president that loves our country and loves everybody. And then on the other hand, you got a guy who wants to dismantle the country, turn it into a socialist, Marxist hellhole that wants to take away health insurance, wants to give college away for free, which really isn't free because the tax rate's going to be probably 80, 90% to even people that don't want to go to college. So what's the point? Why would you want that? And I'll say it a million times, and I already have. It's the lazy millennial Gen Z people that aren't just lazy physically, but they're lazy mentally. They don't want to think. They don't want to think about, so I wonder what the consequences would be, or how free college, loan forgiveness, free healthcare. I wonder where they're going to get that money from. And then, you know, when you tell them it's going to come from your paycheck, it's like it doesn't register in their heads, because they're obsessed with just getting shit for free because they think that they deserve it. I'm not going down this rabbit hole again. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of saying how lazy and incompetent and, you know, that millennials and Generation Z are. And just that'll suck up the rest of the time. Oh God, the hell! I mean, it's a scary thought. It's a scary thought that we could possibly have a socialist president. And you can't say it's not going to happen. You know, you can't. You could say it's not likely. It's definitely not likely. But there's always a possibility. There is an absolute possibility that, you know, Trump supporters don't show up as much as the Bernie bros, and they end up winning the popular and the electoral college. And then we're fucked. And then the country is fucked and doomed. And I don't think we want this. Trump supporters conservatives, people who love this country, patriots, worked very hard to get Trump elected, did everything we can, and continue to do so. And to do all that and end up not even getting him reelected, I don't think we're going to let that happen. You know, this isn't tribalism. That's the thing. The left, they think that us being Trump supporters is just tribalism. Oh, we love Trump. No, no, no. We don't worship Trump. We don't worship anybody but Jesus Christ. But we love our country, and we know that Trump is doing amazing things for the country, better than any other president. He stands up to the government more than any other president in a very long time. You know, and he's the voice of the silent majority. What we've been saying, I remember what my dad used to say way before 2016, when I was a little kid. The things he would say, I wish he would just say this, talk about Bush or this or that. When are they going to stand up to Congress, to Pelosi, to Chuck? When are they going to stand up to him, to them, and call them out on their bullshit? I mean, my father would say this all the time, especially about those two. And he would always get so mad because no Republican had the balls to ever challenge the government. Not one of them. But along comes Trump. And he does. I mean, and in the best way you could possibly do it. Like, he does it so good and so natural and so like New York. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to watch. It's like a wish coming true. And I say that because, you know, you talk to anybody who really is a patriot, that really loves America, and you see that, you could tell the guy's fighting for us. I mean, he's fighting for us. And the forefathers, they knew what they were doing when they created our government. They knew that, you know, there's always a possibility of, you know, elitism and, you know, trying to corrupt the government. And they put things in place to where, wait, there's going to be things to counteract that, to stop that. And Trump is using that. And that's what it's for. It's not to impeach Trump. Trump did not do anything wrong. And that impeachment was a waste of taxpayer dollars, just like the investigation, you know. And they just keep doing it. And they're just looking more and more pathetic with all these investigations, especially Schiff, who should be in jail. And you know what I noticed, especially in the debate, that they every candidate was, you know, was responsible for doing this. They create these imaginary problems, like climate change. There I said it. Climate change is an imaginary issue. It's not a threat to humans. And even if it is, that threat is probably a million years away. The Earth goes in cycles. Humans can't affect it. I don't believe in littering. I don't believe in pollution. I believe that we should start taking care of the world. What China does, what Africa does, because those are the ones that cause the most pollution. America causes almost the least. But yet, they don't look at Africa because, you know, the left doesn't look at Africa because Africans are off limits because they're afraid to be called racist. Because that's the way they do things, because they're pussies and they're afraid of black people. They don't like black people. They're afraid of black people. They're afraid of black people. And everybody knows it. And a lot of blacks are starting to realize it too. How about you criticize Africa? Africa is responsible for all 90% of the population. The population, listen to me. The pollution. So, why don't you go after them? But that won't happen. Because they're afraid And yeah, I just got a text from my freaking barber that his kid got the stomach flu and he can't give me a haircut tomorrow. Ugh. Damn it. So, Oh, and one more thing. I guess I'll end it here. It's about to pull up. So I'm sure most of you guys know the Young Turks, that propaganda, that leftist propaganda machine on YouTube. You know, with Chunk Yogurt, Anik Kasparian, those other soy boy pussies and shit. So I did some research on the name Young Turks because I was curious, because I heard something, but I wanted to verify it. So I said, who are the real Young Turks? I wrote down some notes, so I might sound a little robotic here, but just bear with me. The real Young Turks are a group of reformers who wanted to quote-unquote, Turkify the empire, Armenia. So Christian non-Turks were targeted. They created special organizations, killing squads, and butcher battalions. They threw Armenians off of cliffs, burned them alive, crucified them, kidnapped children, converted them into Islam, gave those kids Turkish families. They raped women, forcing them to join Turkish harems, which are slaves. They seized property and moved Muslims into Armenian homes. 2 million Armenians were murdered in the Armenian genocide, and the Young Turks were responsible for a good portion of them. So these pieces of garbage on YouTube, the Young Turks, are named after a group that committed genocide, that, by the way, deny the Armenian genocide. That's a bonus. So they actually pride themselves on that. I mean, and then on top of it, they are terrible human beings. Anik Kasparian is a repulsive, repulsive woman. Who just thinks that all girls should be sluts. They should just have sex with as many guys. You know, have abortions because abortion's fun. Who cares? You know, empower women. You know. That just shows the character of them, you know. And then the funnest thing, because this is fun. Chank's nephew. What a loser. Hassan Piker. So he made that 9/11 comment that I don't remember exactly, something like New York deserved it. I mean, I can't really think of the specifics, but I know that the things that he's said are so out of line and so out of touch with reality and so SJW, I just can't stand them. You know, like when you just hate somebody, I always say this, I don't hate anybody. There's very few people that I hate, and this prick is one of them. He's one of them. So that's the Young Turks. And they are pretty popular in the dangerous retard liberal community. Ay. I guess I'll end it off with a quote. My dad sent me this quote a few days ago. It's by Winston Churchill. Quote, socialism is a philosophy of failure.
the creed of ignorance and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm ending this tonight. And I'll probably see you tomorrow or Saturday. And I'll have some more stuff. Like I said, I'll try to get some audio from the debates, which is old news. I hope you guys had fun, learned some shit. And I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night.